We're reaching pretty much the end of the Siman Kuf Nun Dalet. We're going to be discussing some very interesting halachas, starting from mice. Okay, mice and shuls. Okay. And then going to interesting shaylets, which I don't know how much we'll be able to reach today to end of the Siman Mishneh Berurah, makes a collection of interesting shaylets. Politics, shul politics. It's a whole long Mishneh Berurah about shul politics, which I'm sure we all want to have insights. The Mishnah Berurah goes through various shailas, such as what happens if a person donated a sefer Torah to a shul, or donated a large amount, and now he leaves the shul, and in bad terms now. He's fallen out with the committee, or with the Rav, and now he claims his money back. Is he allowed to do that or not? It's a good one, huh? What do you think about that? I can just picture the shaila, I can just see it happening. Or what happens if the shul splits and people want to know now the initial donations they have given? If the shul splits into two and, you know, they say, I donated so much money to that shul, I donated this and that and the other to the shul, I'm going to the second, to the alternative shul, I want to take my money with, all those kind of interesting shailas, no? So we'll discuss the Mishnah, that's Mishnah Berurah towards the end of the Siman, discuss that, but let's just get there, let's first get the mice going. I'm top of page 86, second line. Simkuf nun dalet, Sif Yud Beis. So we've spoken about oil, wax that was donated by the goy. We've spoken about donations by the mumar avodes kichovim, and now we're going to be talking about achbar, a mouse shenimtza, which was found b'shemen shel beis hakneses. So we've got over here in Sif Yud Beis a mouse that was found in the oil of the shul. Again, oil was, of course, the primary source of light that was used in the shuls. Of course, that was where the light came. There was oil. And in that oil, a mouse, a very hungry mouse, found its way to the oil and it drowned. Now, the oil, now you want to know, is imagine a whole barrel of oil, still which cost a very substantial amount of money. And now they want to know, can they still use that oil? Or maybe not. Imagine a mouse can use that oil for the lights of the shul. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ach bo shenimtza b'shemen shel beis hakneses imu mos." If it's a little bit disgusting, if it's off-putting, if it's got that mousy kind of, even once you have taken the mouse away, you can still feel it and smell it. And so then, also ladlikoi, it would be also not only that's repulsive, but in fact, it's also ladlikoi b'beis hakneses. It remains also. However, if it's not mos, we'll see what the Mishnah Berurah says. Mishnah Berurah says, if cotton mem test, very interesting. Mishnah Berurah says, imu mos, ve'afilu yeshishim negdoi demuta ba'achile. There's a halacha, we all know, that bottle b'shishim, the very well-known concept of 1/60th. And therefore, you've got a proper trefa, you've got meat, trefa meat, which falls into a cholent. We know the halacha is it's bottle b'shishim. If it's less than a 60th, then it's mut. You can eat the meat afterwards. Bottle b'shishim. So here we're learning. Even if the mouse is bottle b'shishim, surely you would say if it's bottle b'shishim, what would you argue? Bottle b'shishim. Yeah, you'd say it's mutter. But we're learning now, even if it's mutter b'achila, you could actually eat it. So imagine, you could eat it, but kevin shemos also mishum ekriveuno leprosecho v'yesh mekilim b'yeshishim. There's a halach of akivu, which is that so it's something which is, even it's bottle b'shishim, nevertheless, since it's something which is clearly for davening, it's for shul, it's for davening, it's for Vodis Hashem, there bottle b'shishim won't work. There's aloch of a kivuno, which means that something which is meant, we're going to see more alochis in the later simon, that something which is used for davening has to be accordingly appropriate, and therefore, if the mass was in there, bottle b'shishim, leave it, don't use it. Also not likoi, what happens if you find a mouse in the oil and you want to use that oil for Hadlokas Neres Chanukah? What would be the halacha then? Problem or not a problem? Problem? If you can't use it for shul, you can't use it for Chanukah, says the Mishnah Berurah. says the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot Nun, also that Lika Beis HaKnesses, B'Primagodim et Tzadeit, Primagodim suggests and holds, Tehua Adin, similarly, L'Shar HaDlokah Shel Mitzvah, any lighting purpose, anything that you light for mitzvah purpose, Kegoin, such as, Ne Shabbos, if you're using oil for Shabbos, V'Chanukah and Chanukah, also Imu Mous, Loi, if it's Mous for him, that means that if it's, there is a certain repulsiveness, is that your word, repulsiveness? Certain element of just, and it's repulsive, and therefore don't use it not for Ner Chanukah, not for Ner Shabbos. Have a bit of a diuk. What do you think about the last four words of the Mishnah Berurah? Right, if imu mos loy. So the last word really to an amadag. If it's repulsive for him, what does that sound like? If a person is not, doesn't really care so much, then it might be okay. Or, and I have a shail over here, I didn't see the poskim discussing it. Strangely enough, I didn't see any poskim. What happens if you remove anything which is repulsive, and now you want it, but you're still absolutely disgusted from it, but now you're giving it to somebody else who never knew about the visit of the mouse, and you want to pass it on now to somebody else, is that okay or not? Do you agree? It sounds like it would be fine. Because Yena, the other person, the second person, he doesn't know of anything. It's not repulsive for him. So it sounds like from the Mishnah's last word. What do you think, Reb Gideon? Do you think it's a duke? Himumos loy, if it's disgusting for him. So for somebody else, for somebody that is not, doesn't feel repulsive, it doesn't bother him at all, could be that it's fine. Okay? So maybe that's an Eitz HaToyva, if somebody finds any of that, you just you give it to somebody else, you take it away, you make sure there's no traces, and you give it to somebody else. See if you'd gimel. Neishol Beis HaKnesses, Mutta Likrois Le'oiroi. The light of a Beis HaKnes, of a shul, Mutta Likrois Le'oiroi. You're allowed to use it to read from it. So that's obviously, the background of that will be, where do we find that you can't do that? Where do we find that you can't use a candle, the candlelight for your own private purpose? Where? Shabbos, Chanukah. Right. So the Mishnah Berurah says as follows in Sifkoten Nun Aleph. Ne'er shall Beis HaKnesses. Haynu shenoda echot shemen adlok Beis HaKnesses. We're talking about not just a candle which is being used in shul, but more than that, it's candle which has been designated a neda. Somebody made a neda, promised this candle is for shul purpose. Sivkot nun beis mutalikos, you are allowed to use that light, those candles, you're allowed to use them for any purpose. You can read your newspaper with it. Mutalikos. Hainu b'divrei Torah. So, actually, not the newspapers. Hainu b'divrei Torah. That refers to divrei Torah. You're allowed to take a sefer out and read it. V'loy b'kriya shel chol, but not chol, not any chol related matters. Don't just use any chol matter with chol related material with it. V'loy domi l'nei Chanukah. It is not the same the Ner Chanukah, which with regards to Ner Chanukah, we learn Siman Tov Resh Ayin Gimel that you're not allowed to read and use also, how do we say in Mois too? Also Nishtamish, we're not allowed to. Of course, we nowadays, we make it easier by having a Shamash, etc. But really, there's an Issa of using the National Chanukah. So we're saying of it's not the same as the National Chanukah. Over here, actually, we are allowed to. Over there, it needs to be specifically for Ner Chanukah candles. Therefore, don't use it for anything else. Masha Enken Hocha, as opposed to over here, Shul Light, the Kavonas Anoida. What was the intention of the person who donated the money for the candle? What was his intention? Pardon? People could see. Exactly. He wants people to see. He wants people to have benefit from that light. That's precisely his intention. Therefore, Kavonas Anoida Yirak Kidei Leharbois Mo'ir Beis HaKnesses. Anybody who donates money for the lights in the shul, he doesn't want it just, he wants it to be used. That's the whole idea. And therefore, it's fine. You can use it for any learning. The more people actually the more actually people read and learn from it, the better. That reminds me a bit of a shaila that some people discuss with regards to in a shul. Very similar shaila, really. The shul is dark. Shul is dark. Say shul which is not being used in the middle of the day, and it's dark in the middle of the day. Or it's already dark in the evening, it's already dark, and the shul for some reason is already void, and the people have left already, and you want to come and learn in the Beis Medrash. And it's dark, all the lights are switched off. Is an individual allowed to come in and switch the lights on to learn? So whether it's midday, whether it's in the evening. And the question really is that it's costing money. Have I got the right to switch the lights on in a shul, or possibly also the air conditioning, because we maybe include that in the same shaila, to have my own personal benefit of learning? Yes or no? Pardon? You're saying it depends on that. If he's a paying member, pashtus should be fine.
Right.
If he's a non-paying member, pashtus shouldn't be allowed. You should ask permission. Good. Yeah. Sounds like a reasonable svara.
I would suggest there's a difference between lights and air conditioning. Lights is just a necessity to learn.
Good.
Air conditioning
is not. Is a luxury.
Yeah. Additional.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good svara as well. Yeah. Rabbi Say, do you all agree to that? So one could argue that, and I mean, it's not poshut, because I hear you, Sforis, one could argue that it's a little bit similar to what he said over here, that the people who donated the money, whether it's members or whether it's non-members, wherever the money comes from, it's partially also, that's the whole idea, people are giving money, people should learn there. It's meant to be used. A shul is meant to be used. So really, of course, I mean, it has to be done with seichel, and it has to be done with caution, but nevertheless, a person is allowed to come into a Beis Medrash and switch the lights on and learn, if it's really for learning. If it's for checking, incoming things, then probably not. But if it's for sitting and learning Torah, then it should be pashtus fine. No different than over here. Now, the person who donates money for the candles, a person, it's the whole idea. He wants it to be used. That's what it's here for. It's not meant to be put into a fund. It's meant to be used. So l'chayr one could compare it. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that an imitation or is that an example? For example, I mean, if the Gaboyim need to work out the Tamchui and they need to
good question. I don't know the answer. Sounds like an interesting shaila. I don't know. Sounds like an interesting shaila. I'm not sure. Sounds like an interesting shaila.
He's not a member, but he's learning because he's got, whatever he wants to use the toilet, he's using a pair of the towels or paper, which costs money.
Yeah, absolutely. The answer will be, it's very, I think that's very much comparable. I agree. Yeah, I think that's it. But your shaila is interesting. What if it's not mitzvah and it's not chol? Yeah, it's a good shaila. Yeah, now the Mishnah Berurah now goes into an interesting shaila, which I think that is just from the historical perspective is really interesting. On a regular weekday, there was throughout all the communities, people used to daven mincha and maariv because they needed to go home before it gets dark. So they daven mincha and maariv throughout the whole week. There was no maariv bismanoi. On Matzah Shabbos, however, is the only exception in which they needed to get home when it's dark. Now, nowadays, we're very fortunate to live in generations that there's street light and you haven't got a problem to walk in the streets. But if you think about a countryside, if anybody was zoich to go in the countryside for the holidays, then it's pitch dark. It can be pitch dark. There's no street lights. It's pitch dark. How are they going to walk home from shul on Matzah Shabbos? So again, on weekdays, it's not a problem because they walked home precisely because they walked home, Mincha Maariv, they walked home while it was still light outside. But if on Matzah Shabbos, you can't have Mincha Maariv early, you need to wait until Matzah Shabbos. So if you're waiting until Matzah Shabbos, how are you going to walk home in a pitch, in darkness? How are you going to walk home? So what happened was, that was the norm. They used to have light candles, I think probably torches. I don't know if it was made out of oil or wax, but it was. The shul possessed had these lights, and you'd walk home with them because that's the only safe way of getting home. It's the only there was no alternative. That's the only way to get home is by taking those lights which belong to shul, and obviously you're going to be back on Sunday morning. Now the question is, can you use for that? Shul lights? You're going to use lights, candles, wax, oil, which has been donated by well-meaning donors. They're giving that to the shul. And now, people are using it for their way home. Are you allowed to do that? There's really two questions. First of all, it's private and not public use. And secondly, is it for learning or is it not for learning? It's not really learning. It's for very, very technical way of getting back home. So are you allowed to use stock money, really, for you have to use those candles, yes or no?
They couldn't use it if I'm not coming as well.
If you can't use it, they're not gonna come. Yeah? So you're saying that?
Depends on what the devil was. If he specified very specifically, then maybe he couldn't.
If it's not specifically?
Says the Mishnah Berurah,
and I'm carrying on in this Mishnah Berurah of Cotton Nun base. In places, that's what he's referring to. The Mishnah Berurah didn't have to explain the background, historical background, like we just did, but that's clearly what he's referring to. In the places where the Gaboim would make those lights to get home, and the common way, the minhag, the custom was to take one of those lights on Matzah Shabbos to get back home, although it is a choil usage, they're just using those candles to get home, surely it's permitted. Why is that? Very much in line what you're saying. It's as if when a person donates it, where they consciously or certainly subconsciously, it's as if they know that. They know that it's going to be used to some extent for getting back home. So it's based in Masne Aleim. But with regards to the ones that are standing mamash by menorah, those candles that are by menorah, which are specified for the usage of the menorah in shul, also likos ben davar shel chol, those don't use for any chol, don't even use it for mamash, anything similar to chol. Those are mamash more specifically, you should be even more careful. But with regards to getting home, the lay based in Mas and Alem, it's permitted, you can do that. We're ready to move on. You are not allowed to be madlik to light a neir shel hedyet mineir beis hakneses. If you've got a candle, you're not allowed to ein madlik neir shel hedyet mineir beis hakneses. Don't make a neir shel hedyet for secular mundane purpose. Don't take that from a neir shel beis hakneses. Some say that it's okay. Some say that it's only a problem when the candle is still lit in shul. Then don't, if you've got a candle lighting in shul, then don't take it and don't light your cigarette with it. Don't take it and use it for anything. But when it's not lighting anymore, when it's not lit, then you can use it for something else. So, but when it's extinguished, then you'd like to use the Voshechol from it. Miu. Many are not makpit on that. Some are allowed to use the candles for tzorich gadol, even if it's not mitzvah. It could very well be that, again, this is a general understanding. That's what people think about, and it's okay. And this is really the underlying yisoid over here that the Rama says. Generally, it's what's generally accepted in the communities. That if generally people are makpid on that, even if it's not really, really, really hadovo k'tusha, but if people do it, it's understood that it comes from the shul funds, it's going to be okay. So maybe the air conditioning is not a bad example, maybe. What do you think about that? If people want to come in and they want to... Not sure. Yeah. Yeah, that's true as well. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm ready to move on to see if you test. Tezvov. Yeah. Okay. Bnei Krach. Shekonu Sefer Torah. Okay, these people living in that particular village, they had a lot of foresight. And they made an agreement that they all had to chip in towards the Sefer Torah. We all know Sefer Torah is a huge expense. So they said, okay, we're all going to chip in to make a Sefer Torah possible. But they made an additional agreement. And the agreement was that, we shouldn't have talked about the air conditioning because now it's gone. What happens if they make an agreement? They say, okay, we're all chipping in, we're all doing our parts toward the Sefer Torah. But if I'm going to leave the city, I may move out of here. I want to get my part back. People with foresight. I might not always stay over here. I'm happy to give my few hundred pounds now. But towards Sefer Torah, but in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years, when I'm going to leave this village, I'm going to move on, I want my money back. Question number one, can you do this, yes or no? Does it work? You make a clear condition before you give in the money. Can you do it? You're making a condition, here's the £200, but I'm only giving it if I can get it back if I leave. Works or not? Doesn't? Well, there's... It's not real chiyuv, really. Yeah, the community want... Yeah, you're saying...
It's a loan.
Loan.
It sounds like a loan.
Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch says it works. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. It works. You can give it and say, if I leave, I want my money back. It's going to work. Question number two. What happens if, in the meantime, shares gone up? The value of the Sefer Torah has gone up by 20%. Now, I've given... We have to work with easy figures, otherwise I'm going to get lost. Okay? So let's say I gave £100. And after 5 years, the Sefer Torah has increased value by 20%. Now, my 100% are worth?
120.
Thank you. Good. Thank you very much. I want to now say, okay, Sefer Torah have gone up in value. They've increased by 20%. My £100 I can anyway get back, as discussed. But I don't just want £100. I know the value of that Sefer Torah has increased by 20%. I now want £120 back. Can you do that, yes or no? Ribbis? You think it's ribbis?
Yeah.
You're making money from a Sefer Torah? So you say it doesn't work. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Yutet. Well, you say it does work, doesn't
it? Works.
It works? Shulchan Aruch, Sif Tes Vav. Bnei Krach, people in a village, Shekonu Sefer Torah. They bought a Sefer Torah. They've acquired the Sefer Vehisnu, and they made a stipulation. They made a tnai. Sheim yeitze echot me'akrach. If one of them leaves the village, shanishorim yitnu lochekoi, they have agreed that they will reimburse to him his part. Vehukru, so far, so good. Vehukru has for him. The Sefer Torah now have increased in value. Him yotzo echot me'em, ein noisnim loy. If one of them taka leaves now, and he's leaving the village, we will only give him what was given initially. So he's only going to get his £100 back, he's not going to get £120. Good. Now, what's the reason for that? Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Nun Ches. Hello, Mashenosan. The Mistom Elo Hisnu Elo Lecherek Mevuro Beoiso Shom for the Velolas Shuma Acheres. The reason, says the Mishnah Berurah, is a concept in Chosh HaMishpat, that if that's the money that he gave, then it was based on the understanding that this is the value that I'm giving and that's what I'm going to get back. He wasn't assuming that is going to be an increase. He wasn't assuming that he's going to get more money back. Now, having said that, what would be the halacha, a really interesting shaila, if the Sefer Torah actually loses value? Instead of the Sefer Torah being 20% more valuable now, it's 20% less valuable. What would be the halacha then? He's going to get £80 back, or you have to pay him out £100. You have to give him £100. It's either or. That means that if everybody leaves, they're going to be in big debts. Yeah. Yeah. We sometimes find they never lose out. Yeah, by Hektish, yeah. So
that was if he made the condition in the first case that I want my money back, plus if it's increased in value. So if you made it tonight that if I leave the village, I've given you £100, but if it increases in value, I want the increased as well. Why don't we stipulate that? And he said, And if it's decreasing value, I still want the £100 back. So,
if
you made that,
he's a good businessman. He's a good businessman. I have to take some lessons by him. Yeah. Yeah.
If you
make the stipulation, a clear stipulation.
I want the value of the Sefer Torah if I leave at that point, if it's increased. But if it hasn't, I just get my £100.
Right. I suppose if he makes a clear stipulation, it may work. It may work. He's entitled to. The Mishnah Berurah brings the machloikas in this. The Mishnah Berurah brings the machloikas, and it seems to remain as a machloikas. So it's not so poshut. It's not so poshut what the maaser has to be done in that such a case. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, just to recap what we covered tonight, Pesiach Tishmaya. We learned about the halacha of the mouse in the oil. We learned that if it's mouse, don't use it for shul purpose and simply not for Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos. If it's not repulsive for him, it's okay. We learned that Ner Shel Beis HaKnesses, you're allowed to use it for Torah purpose. We learned that it's not the same as Ner Chanukah. We spoke about the candles which are being used for walking home on Matzah Shabbos, which is fine as well. We learned about Bnei Krach. We learned about don't use Shpes HaKnesses candles for purpose with pure hediot purpose. We learned for Tzorech Gadol Izrum to be Matir. We learned that people in a village which have donated it with a stipulation that they want to have their parts back if they leave, if they emigrate, they can do that. However, if the value of the Sefer Torah increases, they will not be entitled to make the profit. They'll have to find another business. They'll have to find another business deal to make their money. Okay, so more on those shaylos mitzvah tomorrow.